I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Jalen, how do you call this foul at the end of overtime against Tucker?
How do you call that?
That is not
no chance.
Refs need to stop deciding games.
Start the show, man. Take the ball out.
He is Jalen Rose. I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. What exactly is it that we do?
We give the people what they want.
We have joining us later on in the show, welterweight UFC champion Kamaru Usman. So excited to have him stop by. But first, we start with the hottest player in the NBA. Steph Curry is absolutely on fire, Jalen. 49 points against his brother and the Sixers last night. What do you think about this streak that he's been putting together in the month of April?
I think that I'm an MVP voter. And he just shot himself into the race and the conversation, legitimately. And this is what we wanted to see. After the Golden State Warriors went to the lottery last year, a couple of years removed from losing KD, this is Klay's second year with injury. Steph needed to put the league on notice. People were on his heels. Dame Lillard was on his heels. People were wondering if Steph Curry was still not one of the top guards, one of the top players in the league. Could he carry the load on a team that wasn't favored to win a championship again at his age? And he has been so very dominant shooting the basketball, unlike something that we've never seen in the history of basketball. Now, just think about it when somebody says the greatest shooter ever. I played with Reggie. I played against Ray Allen. They're two of the best at coming off screens. They're two of the best at catch and shoot. Larry Joe Bird, a guy that you prayed to his poster when you grew up before you played basketball, was the best in all areas. A 50-40-90 guy from the boxes, from the elbows, from the three, and would win the three-point contest with the number one. How about when you look at how they were able to shoot the basketball, the Steph Curry's handle unlocks something that we've never seen. Between the legs, behind the back, splitting traps. And how about in pick and roll? Did you see last night? They were just looking for Joel Embiid's man.
I felt
bad for him. I truly did. It wasn't because he's not an MVP candidate. It's because Steph Curry has unlimited range. And every time I looked up in the fourth quarter, it was like pick and roll, pick and roll, pick and roll.
Mm-hmm.
And before you know it, Steph Curry had 49 points in a victory. It's been amazing to watch his ascension back to being one of the elite players in basketball, shot his way into the MVP conversation.
He really did. And while he did find Embiid in a bunch of those switches at pick and roll, like you see right there, he also just got a lot of buckets on his brother. It's just like just beating up on his brother all night long. He has been on such a tear. And as you mentioned, he has worked his way into the MVP conversation. However, there is a clear front runner for the MVP this season. None more today than ever before. And that is the stretch mark five. Nikola Jokic. And last night it was him and Morant going back and forth. Jokic ended up with 47 points, 15 rebounds, 8 assists, and a huge three at the end of the game to give his Nuggets, without Jamal Murray, the victory. Jalen, like you mentioned, you're a voter. If you had to vote today, you would have the stretch mark five as the MVP, wouldn't you? Just say it.
I would, because on the same night that we're talking about Steph Curry heroics, the Joker filled up the stat sheet again. And how about the fact that the Joker for our show has been our king? We've hearted the Joker for years. You affectionately called him a stretch mark five. And you know what it got me thinking? What? About some of my favorite artists. I remember, like, have you guys ever heard of this guy named Pusha T? And I was saying his bars before the clips, and then they went mainstream. I did the same thing with J. Cole. I was like, he got game and all of that. Plus, he got bars. And then he went mainstream, and the rest of the world discovered his beauty and his greatness. Same thing happened with Kendrick Lamar, right over my shoulder. And then all of a sudden, the world started realizing that he was great. That's what happened to the Joker, Jacoby. He was our guy. We were talking about the Nuggets. They were up and coming. We were hailing them drafting Michael Porter Jr. when they did. And then all of a sudden, he became an MVP candidate. Does it hurt your heart that our ringleader, the Joker, now has to accept tickets from other fans to come and watch the show? And we gotta possibly stand in line to watch our guy. How do you feel about that now?
It doesn't bother me at all, Jalen Rose. It does not bother me one bit because, you know, people come at Jalen and Jacoby to get on the forefront of what's going to happen next. And we were in on the Nuggets and Joker early. But one of the reasons we're playing this music is because he is like a ringleader. They run everything through him. And while he scores 47, he makes things easier for everyone else. He is the lubrication to the engine that is the Nuggets offense. And he's just such a great decision maker, such a great shooter, shooting for 40%. From three, he can post you up and he can pick and rolls. He's a roll guy. He does everything in all different phases on offense. He's been so impressive. And another thing, played every game that the Nuggets had on the schedule.
Point.
And unfortunately, this year, the MVP race is kind of coming down to that. And the person who wins the MVP this year will usurp Giannis Antetokounmpo, who won it twice in a row. And he was in action last night. It was the Bucks and the Suns, two of the best teams in the NBA, and it came down in overtime to
a very controversial play.
Look at this defense from Jrue Holiday here. First of all,
outstanding defense.
Look at this
my goodness. This is lockdown high school when you're a senior playing against sophomores. That was a lockdown deep. However, when he slipped, Tucker came over late. That's a foul, Jacoby.
No.
He all in his space. He all in my personal space, dog. It's COVID right now. You're in my personal space, dog. That's a foul.
He's not social distancing. You can't call that foul. And I'm not going to sit here and say that Tucker didn't touch him. He might have touched him, Jalen Rose. But if you look at Booker, he's leaning into the contact. He creates it. Tucker's got his hands up. He's moving away from him at the end there. And then they call the foul. Like, why are you deciding a tied game?
See,
we're going to all zeros like this. That's not a foul, Jalen. He has a open release.
You see your competitive spirit? That's why I retired from playing ball for so long. See, guys like you who continue to play in leagues and continue to play multiple days a week, you're so very competitive, Jacoby. You want to believe that a call in the first quarter shouldn't be a call in the fourth quarter. That's what you're saying.
I do believe that, especially overtime.
I agree with you. But guess what? That changed. You can't decapitate somebody when they go across the middle in football anymore. Load management is a part of the league now.
This
touch
is contact. This
getting
is touch.
Called late.
Touch. Tiny little touch. He brushed his fingertip on his elbow on the way up. Booker, he rebalances, regains, and takes a pretty much uncontested shot, to be honest with you, and misses it. And it's at zeros, too. It's at zero. So now you're blowing the whistle after the buzzer has sounded. You're going to the table and finding out, actually 0.3 seconds is when the whistle was blown. Like, come on. This should have gone to double overtime. You know it.
I know how much you love Tucker because you're one of the initiators for national consumption, the love of shoes and how you explore people's collection. So I know Tucker's one of your guys, but he came from the lane to the three-point line and he bumped into a gentleman that was shooting a turnaround jumper at 30 feet. Are you going to give him some accountability? Are you going to give him some accountability?
Came from the corner, okay, and he didn't bump into anybody. His fingernail grazed his elbow on the way up. And you see Booker's going into him and creating the contact. That was extremely frustrating to have such a great game
too,
like
Jacoby.
That
I get it.
Come
it's
down
a foul,
to this.
That's my guy.
To free throws. Then he
Tucker,
makes the first
one,
misses the second one, and everybody has to go home. That was not a foul. Well,
I'm throwing the ball in the stands. You don't call that.
Moving our attention to the National Football League, we have some sneaky big news. Mike Tomlin signed a 3-year extension with the Steelers. He will now be the Steelers head coach under contract until 2024 season. What do you think the impact of this is, the stability that Tomlin creates with this franchise?
I just think that for some reason in my mind, Justin Fields is going to fall to the Patriots or the Steelers. I just feel like that.
What?
And that's going to be terrible for the rest of the NFL. Mike Tomlin has been a model of consistency. He's been not only one of the best voices in football as it relates to reinventing a team. I remember when he had a top three quarterback wide receiver combination in the Killer Bees with Bell, Brown, and Big Ben. And then they remade their team to create depth. And now it's strength in numbers. But they always play defense. They always create turnovers. They have an identity. They want to run the football. Their struggles recently is because they have not been able to do so, and they've dealt with a lot of injuries. He's been one of the elite coaches in the game, and whatever they paying him, that's a discount.
Oh, yeah. And you mentioned the injuries. I think that's really important to the narrative of their season last year because defense is sort of like their calling card. They play great defense, and they had so many injuries on that side of the ball last year that just made it difficult for them to succeed in the AFC. But they get a running game. Look out for the Steelers next year. Jalen, joining us right after this very short break is that man, Kamaru Usman, the welterweight champion of the UFC. He's got a huge fight coming up this weekend with Masvidal.
He's a monster.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
And this man took the fight is because it was on 6 days' notice and he had a built-in excuse.
I want to take his head off even more now that he beat me.
He's a great fighter, but even great's not enough when it comes to me.
Oh, another knockdown! And still, Kamaru Usman taking what from who?
This dude is terrifying.
Oh, out cold!
Dave Brand!
Usman, I can't stand him. I can't stand that dude.
It's not done. This time, I'm going to finish your ass.
I'm coming for that belt.
We'll see what happens when I got a little bit more than 6 days to prepare for your ass.
I'll give you a whole training camp, and this time, I will stop you.
Coming to you live from Pier 17 in the South Street Seaport District of Manhattan, and brought to you by Chase. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen Rose, the champ is here. Welterweight UFC champion Kamaru Usman joins us on the show. Thank you so much for taking the time.
My pleasure, guys. My pleasure, guys. I've been a fan of you guys. You know, I like what y'all doing. You know, I'm a big fan of what y'all doing out here, guys.
Appreciate the love.
We are fans of yours as well. Huge fight this weekend. Second fight against Masvidal. We all know what happened in the first one and the taking the fight late. What do you think will be different this time when you two face off in the octagon?
It's going to be different this time because, you know, we live in this era to where a lot of these guys just want the clout chase. They just want the fame. They run in their mouth just to, you know, just this is the first time we see actually popularity actually kind of equate into dollars. And this guy is kind of one of the presidents of those clubs. It's all about the talk, all about the clout chase to where I always wanted to be the greatest. And I've proved that time and time again. And just because he took that first fight on 6 days' notice, you know, he was unsatisfied with the beating that I gave him. So you know, I want to go out there and I want to really put a stamp on it this Saturday night.
Champ, we're huge fans of yours, and that's exactly where I was going. As a professional, there's a line it seems to that you hope your opponent doesn't cross. And I heard Masvidal call you a coward and say other things that I'm pretty sure that you didn't like hearing said about your name. How does that make you feel when one of your opponents gets disrespectful towards you in the media?
For me, you know, when we sign on that dotted line, I'm all business. You know, I got to go out there and I got to, you know, make a better life for my family. And if you want to cross that line and say certain things, you know, a lot of guys say it to try to promote, but a lot of guys say it to try to get in your head and thinking that that's going to make you come off your game. Nothing takes me off my game. You know, I got into this to be the best, and none of that matters to me. For me, all that talk and all it equates to for me is, when the way I see it, anything you say before the fight can and will be used against you when we step into that octagon.
Well, the fight is going to be in Jacksonville, Florida. They're looking to have full capacity of fans. That's another thing that's going to be very different than the first fight with Masvidal. He is a native Floridian. So how do you think that atmosphere and having the fans in the building will sort of change the fight?
I live here too, you know, to be honest. I live in Florida too. And, you know, it's going to change the fight because I think he's a guy, like, he thrives on the clock. This is something he always wanted in his life. His whole career was just to have the fans and people on his side. So he thrives on that. So for him, it'll be more of an advantage. But at the end of the day, you know, it could be your biggest disadvantage as well, because once you're not getting your way, things aren't going the way you want them to go. It starts to bother you because you know it's 15,000 people in here who came to see you do something.
In the first fight, there were so many fans that were actually upset that you kept your discipline and was foot stomping. Like, for me, like, I know that I want to be able to walk at the end of the fight. And for some strange reason, everybody else thought, like, this is something that you shouldn't be doing. Can you describe that strategy and how effective it is?
Well, this is what I, like I said earlier, anything they say can and will be used against them in there. When we get in there, I'm going to do everything within the confines of the rules to beat you up. You know, whether it's foot stomp, if they would let me knee your head, I would knee you in the head. You know, I would do everything possible to try to make sure that I go away with that victory, because at the end of the day, this is what I set out for myself. I wanted to be the best in the world, and right now I am the best in the world.
You are the champion, the welterweight champion, and I'm looking at the division. You're kind of running out of guys to beat. So let's imagine in a hypothetical world in which you beat Masvidal. You said you wanted to fight two more times this year. What other fighters are you looking at to fight?
To be honest, man, I look at this like this is a track meet right now. It's a track race. I'm so far ahead of all these guys. I'm coming around. I'm about to lap
facts
right
facts
now.
On facts.
And he's just, he happens to be, you know, the first guy I'm about to pass up right now. And so it really doesn't matter. You know, the rest of the other guys can kind of draw straws or do whatever they play, you know, flip a coin or whatever to see who's going to get it next. But, you know, for me, it doesn't really matter. I'm coming around. I'm coming around fast, too. Because, you know, once that guy starts coming around that second time, it seems like they faster than the first time. So I'm coming around fast.
And someone else that has put the game on notice, your brother from another, Ngannou. You've been in his corner and or vice versa. What is it like to have that support? And what do you think would happen if he was to fight John Bones Jones?
Francis is he's one of those guys that is a special, special guy. Like, I mean, you never see power like that. I've never seen something like that. And just having him around me, it's part of that aura. Think about it. I'm going into a fight, you know, and all week in my mind is, if anything was to pop off in this hotel lobby right now, I know I got one with me that I could just push in there and let him clean and clear the house out, you know, air the whole place out. And that's the aura, and that's the feeling that you get when Francis is around. And I think it'll be an incredible fight with John, man. I think John is one of the best to ever do it. You know, his whole
You know, his resume has proven itself, is so accomplished, but it's a different thing when you go against a guy like this. I mean, it's scary. And I'm just blessed to be in the era to be able to witness this. So one day I can tell my kids, yo, that dude right there, that's one of the hardest hitting ones you ever seen. Yeah, that's
right, dude, right.
Yeah.
Well, we wish you the best of luck in the fight this weekend. You're Absolutely. Welcome to come back and join us on Channel Jacoby anytime.
Appreciate the love,
Thank
champ.
You. Thank you, guys. Appreciate the love. Thank you, guys.
We'll be back with much more right after this. Stay tuned. You're watching Jalen and Jacoby. Look at this lineup on ESPN this weekend, starting with the 76ers and Bucks Saturday at 3:30 p.m. and then the big fight Saturday night, 10 p.m. on ESPN Plus. It is Usman Masvidal 2. Then Sunday, another 3:30 game, Suns against the Nets. And then it all finishes with a baseball game between the Padres and the Dodgers. That one starts Sunday at 7 p.m. ESPN, huge lineup all weekend long.
One of one.
That man is one of one. LaMelo Ball, we've been celebrating him for years, and we have news. He has been cleared to resume individual basketball activities. He could be back in the lineup within 7 to 10 days. Jalen Rose, we're going to get playoff LaMelo this year.
I'm happy for Hornets fans because drafting LaMelo Ball made them must-see League Pass TV, and that's really important in the NBA. And his unselfishness, to me, has unlocked their roster to where people like Scary Terry and Miles Bridges are having breakout seasons.
Another injury update. Anthony Davis of the Los Angeles Lakers could return as soon as Thursday against the Mavs. Jalen, how bad do the Lakers need to see him?
It's great to see him back into the lineup. An all-NBA caliber performer, has missed so many games. Hopefully he can play enough games going into the regular season where he can be playing his best basketball when LeBron returns.
Jalen, it is April 20th today, and that has certain significance to certain communities. And just so happens that Redman and Method Man have a versus battle tonight. Do you think there's any correlation between today's date and this versus matchup?
It's the Funkadelic Funk for chumps that don't be knowing my name. Those are legends right there. We petitioned on this show for them to be in How High. We could not imagine that our legends were excluded from one of those movies. I'm excited about this versus. It's must-see TV.
We'll be back tomorrow, ESPN at 2 p.m. We have exclusive content with Kamaru on the podcast. Make sure you check for that.
Watch out for those edibles. They'll sneak up on you.